Are you ready to advance your career, hone your skills, or explore new vocational paths without spending thousands of dollars to further your education? Skillfeed.com features over 65,000 video tutorials to keep your creative and technical skills current. Choose from long courses or short tutorials called Skill Snacks, featuring courses on business, web development, education, finance, leadership, photography, and more. Get your 30-day free trial now. Log on to skillfeed.com/radio. That's skillfeed.com/radio.
Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, my brothers and sisters, and praise the Lord, and thank you for joining us for another week, another exciting week at the PRF table. We are glad that you pulled up a chair, and don't worry, we have plenty of seats. So if you know anybody else that's not doing anything right now, feel free to call them, give them the number, and tell them to come on and pull a chair up at the table. And just want to go ahead and introduce the two hosts tonight before we get too far into what's going on. The first host is JR. How you doing, JR?
I am doing very well, my brother. How are you doing this evening?
I'm doing all right. And Sister Paula, it's so good to hear your voice again on the other end of the table there.
Hello, Brother Feast and Brother JR.
Hey.
Well, good to be here tonight and to dine with you guys again.
Amen. Let everybody know I am at another obligation, so I just got called in, so JR, could you go ahead and do a recap, and I should return in about 10 minutes, all right?
I sure can, my brother. Well, for those of you For those of you who were not with us last week, Brother Feaster had the Spirit spoke to him and had him to bring up a conversation for us to get started with, talking about entitlements, and that's what we talked about last week. And really, Sister Paula, all we did was really just scratch the surface on this subject or this notion of entitlements. I think tonight what Brother Feaster has brought back to the table is that we really need to continue talking about it. We were talking about, we provided a definition of what entitlements were, and we also talked about the definition of a handout. And I think tonight what we'll do is continually try to put this out a couple times throughout the show as more and more people join on, listen to us on Facebook, because definitions make all the difference in the world. What my understanding about a word is very, very important. And if you and I both have different understandings of what a simple word means, then we can never really get anywhere as we're trying to have conversation. Usually one person leaves mad because sometimes the other person doesn't believe the other person is actually listening to them. So just to give a definition, we pull the definitions out of the dictionary like we do so frequently. The definition of an entitlement is a state of being entitled, and then the second definition is a government program that guarantees or provides benefits to a particular group. And so last week what we talked about was what is an actual entitlement. So we talked about Medicare being entitlement. We talked about Social Security being an entitlement. So let me backtrack a little bit as well. And we also talked about veterans benefits, certain veterans benefits, because as those of you who may not know, Brother Feaster is in active duty in the military. Sister Sanders, who's not with us right now, she's on active duty in the military. And then we also talked about the definition of a handout, and that definition is food, clothing, or money given to the needy. So with that, Paula, is there anything that you wanted to bring to the table before we get into it and see where we're going to continue on this conversation tonight? All right, so Paula's not with us. So let me start off. Brother Feaster had a couple of questions, and one of the questions that he actually wanted to bring in, wants you to join in on us with, is who is entitled? And then the second question was, who governs the qualifications? And I'm sure I'm not going to do as much justice as Brother Feaster has done. But when I think about who is actually entitled, I think everybody, Paula, if you're listening, everybody has a understanding of who is entitled and who is not. And that was, for those who were listening with us last week, that was a big thing for me. Who are we to say who is entitled to a certain benefit and who is not?
Yeah, let me cut in. I do apologize. My phone was on mute.
That's all right.
I was talking away. But I was saying, I did listen in on the show last week. I wasn't able to call in, but I did listen. And I heard Brother Feaster mention how government officials are living in the living quarters, the government facilities for them, the mansions, such as the governor's mansion, and the White House local president, they're living in these facilities free of charge. So
that's right.
If they're entitled to these things, why isn't it sufficient for working people to be entitled to their Social Security benefits or SSI, simple SSI, for that person who's disabled and has never worked before? You know, my thinking instantly went to God saying in the Bible that the poor will have with us always. The poor isn't necessarily those who don't have money, but I believe the poor could be those who have a poverty mentality, who just don't have enough to go and get it. I believe that they are entitled to safe living quarters. They're entitled to 3 meals a day, because those are the poor people that I believe God was talking about.
And that goes along with the definition of the word handout, food, clothing, or money given to the needy. And I may be taking the conversation, or I may take the conversation a little different direction than Brother Feaster until he comes back at the table. But when I think about that, especially as a Christian or as a believer, I have a problem when people don't really understand or don't really get it, that some of the things that they may talk about as being an actual entitlement is not an actual entitlement. It's just help that certain people have. And I think I brought up last week, I said, look, if my mother needed Social Security, the money from Social Security, right, because she has retired, that is an entitlement. So we have to, and I'm not going to say we, certain people have to stop splitting hairs, and let's be real with this thing. The reality is, just like you mentioned, Paul, about, you know, our government officials, some of our government officials are living off of an entitlement that they have in their mind, and that's offered to them because of their position. So my thing is this. If anybody is against entitlements, then be against entitlements all the way across the board.
Right.
That's the best thing to do. Go ahead.
Their entitlements are much greater than the pennies that they're giving people with Social Security. So where's the complaint?
And think about it. Social Security, you know, I was reading an article from a professor at Auburn University, and he says the most important examples of entitlement programs at the federal level in the United States would include Social Security, Medicare, Medicaid, and most VA programs, federal employee and military retirement plans, unemployment compensation, food stamps, and agricultural price support programs. So those are most common examples of entitlement programs at the federal level. I don't see anybody talking about the entitlement that one should not get if he or she is a farmer down in the rural South. I don't hear that type of talk. So if we really want to have this conversation about what are we talking about when we talk about entitlements, let's be real. I don't hear nobody talking about the VA, the Veterans Affairs or Veteran Administration programs should be cut out for our veterans. I am one. I don't hear that type of talk. I don't hear nobody talking about Medicaid, because most of the cats up in Washington, D.C. are older. who have parents in that upper echelon age. And they may be fortunate enough to be able to take care of their parents, but a lot of other people cannot.
Exactly.
And so think about Social Security. And I know I'm just jumping on these topics, but Social Security is an entitlement program. So we got to go back to what does it mean for an entitlement program? If you have worked, you are putting money into Social Security. And if you're putting money into Social Security, that's really your money for the future that you have to give to the government for them to run other programs. I mean, let's be real. And Social Security 15 years from now may not be what it is today.
However, I don't believe that that's fair because people have exhausted energy to put money into Social Security and then they may not get it back or get what it's really worth because we're taking care of the government officials, the politicians. That isn't fair.
That's right. Even military retirements, there was some buzz last year about reducing the amount of military retirement. I'm like, really? You can't stop something in the middle of it. You can't stop things midstream. You understand what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
So when I get my Social Security benefit statement, and it says if I was to collect my Social Security benefits right now, this is how much I get. And if it says $1,500 if I was 65, and then 5 years from now, I don't expect it to be less than $1,500 if it was $1,500 5 years ago. You would think that it would increase because inflation actually increases. And I'm not no economic scholar by any stretch of the imagination, but I do have common sense. The Lord, I do understand a couple of dollars.
Yeah, but while inflation increases and your Social Security decreases, how do they expect you to live off of your entitlement? That's what you're entitled to.
And you know what? This is why we talk about these topics like we do, because Social Security is only one part of it. What I teach in personal financial management is there's three legs to this stool when it comes to retirement. You have money that you have put aside, for example, a 401k or an IRA, money that you have put aside for later on. And then you have Social Security, which is the second leg. And then the third leg is your retirement pension, retirement or pension. So that means that there may be something wrong if people are trying to survive just off of Social Security. There's something wrong if people are just trying to survive off of only their pension.
It can't happen. No one can survive off Social Security benefits. However, the government allow Social Security recipients to work. I mean, you can work up to a certain stipulated amount of time you're allowed to work. And I don't think that's fair. Well, they're giving you pennies that you can't live off of, yet if you decide to get a job and you work past their stipulation, they cut you off of your Social Security that you're entitled to. So is it really an entitlement? I don't think the government recognizes it as what you're entitled to. I believe they assume they're giving you something when this is your money that you paid into the system.
That's right. And everybody has, this is what I believe. Mostly everybody out here has an expectation of some type of entitlement.
Yeah.
I do. Entitlements are not just federally funded programs. There's entitlements that come into other areas of our life. Let me give you an example. There's a thing that one of the lessons in the PRF program is inheritances, right? My children are entitled to what I leave behind for them because of my bloodline. Now,
correct.
In Proverbs it says, a good man or we could say a good woman, but a good man leaves an inheritance to his children's children. The things that I'm doing now are things that I'm passing on, not just to my children, but to their children. So when we talk about entitlements, when we talk about inheritances, these are things of legacy that we're trying to leave for somebody else. Let me tell you, when in Luke chapter 15, we hear the story of the prodigal son, right? Somebody decided to call it the prodigal son. So I think most people out there can know where I'm at. I don't like calling it that, but that's what somebody decided right on the top of my Bible. And in that story, in Luke 13, the son came to the father and said, give me my money now. He knew that because of the culture, he knew that because of how the family structure was already situated. The father took care of the family. The father left to the family for when the father passed on. Everybody understood how the whole system of inheritance was to work. You see what I'm saying? And this was the younger son that came to the father. He had an expectation that what is my father's is also mine.
Exactly.
And what the father did, he gave him what was entitled to him, but he gave it to him earlier.
Mm-hmm.
Because an inheritance is not what I give to you while you're living. It's something that I leave for you when I'm gone to take care of you or to help take
right.
care of you and for also for you to help take care of somebody else.
Okay.
It didn't work out too well. He didn't know how to manage what was given to him.
Mm-hmm.
And it caused him problems. He wasted it. And then eventually, of course, he came back home. But look at the mess that it made.
Right.
I think there's a lot of people that have that same type of entitlement mentality, as you alluded to earlier, Paula. So it's not for us to demonize the ones who have the entitlement mentality. Is what are we going to do to try to help them not have that entitlement mentality?
Mm-hmm.
I get so tired when election time comes around, and if I step on your toes, I apologize, but I still love you. To hear certain people of a political party always talking about entitlements, entitlements, entitlements. Well, let's be real. Is it entitlements or is it the people? Is it certain people, they really don't want to have certain benefits and certain things from our government? Some of the same people, Paul, as you mentioned, that are receiving entitlements themselves.
Exactly.
Entitlements are also things that are due to businesses. They're also things that's due to political figures. So we can't act like entitlements are just something that the poor or people that need or have or want handouts. It's not like that. Entitlements is way bigger than Social Security, way bigger than Medicare, way bigger than veterans benefits.
Right.
If you're listening, if you're online, you can call in and join into the conversation, 914-338-1692. I'm Brother Dunlap. We have Paula Brooks on the line. Warren Feast is with us. He'll be back in a few moments. But we want to hear your comments. We want to hear what you have to say on this subject of entitlements or handouts. That's today's show. That's tonight's show. That's what we're talking about at the PRF table. So, Paul, I'm going to stop talking for a minute and let you go for a few.
Okay. I want to talk about, you know where I go all the time. I believe that churches feel they are entitled to 10% of people's money. And they don't necessarily talk about the other offerings that people can give. All they want is 10% of your money, and they make it an entitlement by saying you owe this to God. Well, anything we give to God should be given in love. But when you're telling me that you're entitled to 10% of my income as if it's a bill, I'm disturbed by that.
That's a deep question. Is the church entitled? How does the church have a entitlement type of mentality to the tithe? You know what? I really want people to chime in on this. If you want to post on the Facebook page, possessions.resources.finances, feel free to do so. You know what, Paula, what you're saying is so true. And I won't say that it's everywhere because there's plenty of places that understand what tithes are. They understand what tithing is supposed to be used for. understand the biblical basis for it as well. But I'm like you, Paula. I have heard that type of language. And then you have to say, okay, why is that mentality of entitlement there for the church?
And that's where I was going with it, Brother Dunlap, because when you look at the tithe and what it was set aside for, it was an entitlement, but it was for those people who were in need. There is nowhere, there is not a church that I know of where I can go and say, I need this amount. Can you give it to me from your storehouse? That's not happening. But they feel that they're entitled to my tithe. I would prefer to give my tithe to a homeless man on the street. I would prefer to give my tithe to you, Brother Dunlap, to help you pay your bills, as opposed to put my tithe somewhere in a religious facility, I'll say, because
right.
the church is true in my heart, but in a religious facility where I don't know where it's going. I know when I was a child and I went to church, it was stipulated on the offering board for everybody to see where the money was going, and that doesn't happen anymore. So if there was a family that was grieving or in bereavement, they showed how much of the funds went to the bereavement fund. It's not happening today because they feel that they're entitled to it and they can do whatever they want. They can do whatever they want to with it, and you don't have a right to question God.
Mm-hmm.
So as we speak about entitlement, I hate to take it off of the path where we were, speaking of American citizens and the government, but I think that as a whole, everybody feels a sense of entitlement. As you were saying, we all do. And when you said that, that opened up my intellect to include the church.
Mm-hmm.
Because even the pastors, those who live in a parsonage? Yeah.
Parsonage.
They don't have to pay rent. A parsonage, right. You all were speaking of that last week.
Mm-hmm.
They live rent-free. That's their entitlement. And for those who don't live in a parsonage, they live in their mansion. Their mortgage is paid by the church with my tithe. When I may be able and I may not be able to pay my rent, but you're entitled to this simply because you preach the word of God. Come on. And I'm not saying that they aren't entitled, but come on, where's the intellect there? When the Bible stipulates that the tithe was for those who were truly in need.
Paula, guess what? It still hasn't changed. It has not changed. I think that's what is important for people to understand. That purpose has still not changed. The fact that, and let's be honest, the fact that some decide to use tithe for whatever they decide that they need to use it for still doesn't change the fact of what God wants it to be used for, which is as a storehouse.
It doesn't change God's purpose for it, but man has made his own purpose. So, because it comes from every individual feeling the desire to be entitled to money, to be entitled to riches. And it's an unfortunate thing that people are using God to satisfy their greed by stipulating that this is what they are entitled to. And I hate
you
to... Excuse me?
Go ahead. I'm sorry.
So, in that sense, you know, they're telling me that if I pay my tithe, I'm entitled to God blessing that offering and multiplying it and rendering it back to me, and that isn't happening simply because they're not telling me that I have to give this tithe in love with a willing heart. They just want the tithe. And that's awful because I have these high hopes that since I'm tithing, oh, God is going to bless me. And that's why so many broke folk are in the church today with that false sense of entitlement. Everybody's waiting on God to bless them 100-fold. So they're just going to keep on giving and giving. They're going to keep on tithing. Ain't nobody entitled to nothing but the upper echelon. It's a unfortunate thing, but and you wonder why God allows such to happen. But God is God. God said his people perish for lack of knowledge. They don't know. And then they don't study to know. If you read that Bible tells you what you're entitled to. Does. It tells you what you're entitled to and how to go about getting your entitlement. And not a man on this earth can stop it. Because honestly, in all truth, we all are entitled to things. Because as you were just saying about leaving something for your children and your children's children, we have to know that we are the children of God. And what greater entitlement do we have when he owns everything?
That's right. You know, and there's a lot to be said about a church entitlement mentality from leadership and from the individuals. You know, it reminds me when Jesus said, in John 10:10, I came that I would give them life and give them life more abundantly.
Right.
So a lot of people are out here sitting next to us in some of our churches with a mentality that the life is not just eternal life, but is also life here on earth. And this word of abundance did not mean riches, because everybody's not going to have physical riches on this earth.
Exactly. I believe that goes back to the mentality that you have. If you have an impoverished mentality, that's the life you're gonna live.
Mm.
And nobody can help that. I mean, I have to reference that to my own life. God gave me millions of dollars. I've been there. I know how it feels. But my poverty mentality got me right back where I started. So the poor, you will have what you always, as God said.
One of the things that I really think that we can move into until Brother Feaster gets back, if he comes, is going back, and we talked about entitlement, so let's talk about handouts. Because we as we talked about entitlement from the perspective of it's a state of being entitled to something, it's a government program that's guaranteeing some benefits to a certain type of group, you know, the military, the elderly, the disabled. This thing about handout is, in my opinion, from how I hear it from others, is interchangeable with the word entitlement. And those are two different things. So let me say it like this. If you are a Christian, if you are a believer, and you have been problems with entitlements that are really not entitlements but handouts, then you probably need to check your Christianity at the door. Because it is straight biblical all the way through about giving food, money, and clothing to the needy.
Right.
All the way through. Let me give you an example. I think a couple of weeks ago I talked about Matthew from Matthew 25, when Jesus was referring to what we do for each other is related to our eternal judgment. So when Jesus said, when I was hungry and you fed me, I was thirsty and you gave me a drink, I was a stranger, you invited me to your home, I was naked, you gave me clothing, I was sick, you cared for me, I was in prison, you came to visit me. And they said back to him, when do we ever do this? When do we ever feed you? When do we ever give you drink? When do we ever show you hospitality? And what
right.
did Jesus say back to him, Paula?
He said,
I tell you the truth.
To the least of these.
That's
you
right.
To the least of my brethren, you've done it unto me.
So that tells me giving to others is something that Jesus wants us to do.
Right.
And when we keep on going down in those verses of 25, he also talks about, he talks to those on the other side. Talks about away with them, the coins who are cursed, and going into eternal fire prepared for devils and his demons. This thing is real. When I was hungry, you didn't feed me. When I was thirsty, you didn't give me a drink. When I was a stranger, you didn't invite me into your home. When I was naked, you didn't give me clothing. When I was sick and in prison, you didn't come to visit me. They ask the same question. Lord, when was it that we ever saw you hungry? And he said the same thing. What you did to the least of these, you also did it unto me. So when I listen to that, Paula, when I hear what Jesus is saying, it reminds us, look, we have to help one another. What did I say? That was in John chapter 10. Oh, please, don't let me have to go to Acts chapter 2, because that was all about giving. So what you mentioned, talking about the church, Acts 2, verse 42 to 47, that talked about they sold their possessions and brought it to the apostles' feet to give to the people at need. So I'm with you, Paula. If you are giving, if we're bringing our tithes and bringing it to our pastor's feet, so to speak, Paula, I think I'm going to put you on mute for a minute, or you mute and then come back to us, okay? But if that's what we're doing, if we're bringing it and we're giving it, and it's not there to go out to help those who have need, then there's something wrong with what we're doing. We have to evaluate it. And I just encourage everybody that's listening out there, you need to be asking those type of questions. Seek God for how you are able, how can you be out there approaching your leaders, because it is about accountability. It is about making sure that things are going the way they're supposed to go, because we shouldn't have as much poverty as we have in this country. There shouldn't be 11,000 or 1,000 homeless people in my little city around here. Really? What are we doing? Go ahead, Paula. You with us?
I'm here. I'm sorry. You're exactly right. If everybody exhausted, I won't say exhausted, that's the wrong word, but if everyone distributed entitlements or handouts, I'll say, as God planned us to, there wouldn't be any homeless people. We would conquer that thing. We would defeat homelessness. We would defeat poverty. But it all starts with the plan of God. We're all on our own mission trying to get it instead of giving it.
And I don't know if it's that we're not trying to do. I think sometimes the problem gets so large. And when the problem gets so large, it's easy to focus on something else because the problem is so large. It's up to us to just reel ourselves back in, or allow God to reel us back in, to focus on what's actually important.
Well, the problem is large. Brother Dunlop, yes, the problem is large. it's extreme. But at the same time, we start small and do a little bit at a time. And when one person sees me doing good by that homeless person or that brother who needs to pay off his debts or that sister who needs to feed her children, if they see me doing it, they're going to come on and come aboard and help out too. So it's about taking small steps to doing what God desires us to do. But as I said earlier, instead of everybody trying to give and help others, we want to know what we can get out of people. You know, because we feel entitled.
I'm going to be honest with you. I love handouts. I really do. I love handouts. And I think that I know that is our mission, to be able to give handouts. We give of our time. We give of our talents. We give of our resources. And if we're doing that, it shouldn't be for us to get something. It should be for us to give it to somebody who actually needs it. Paula, you're in Louisiana, right?
I am.
All right. Let me throw some statistics out here for everybody to just listen and see why this whole subject that we're talking about is even more important. In 2012, we had 48 million people in America that was living below the poverty line. 48 million. In Louisiana, almost 900,000, Paula.
Wow.
It doesn't matter how big the state is. That's 900,000 families that's affected.
Right.
Let me tell you, in Georgia, down here, in Georgia, in 2000, it was 990,000 people in below the poverty line. In 2012, it's almost doubled to 1.8 million.
Mm.
So we don't have, as believers, as the body of Christ, we don't have time to be fussing. We don't have time to be fighting. We don't have time to get in stupid politics.
So tell me,
we need to be about serious business.
I have a question in regard to all those impoverished people. What are they entitled to when their governor is living in the governor's mansion and he's eating free and living good and riding around on the taxpayer's money, his gas is free?
Right.
What are those impoverished people entitled to? Or do they know that they're entitled to anything, yet they're not pursuing their entitlements?
You know what they're entitled to, Paula? They're entitled to the right to go and beg and ask and go through processes that are really not designed to help them. That's what they're entitled to do, because that's the way most of the programs that we have out here are. And it's not their job. I say it all the time, and welcome back to the table, Brother Feaston. I say it all the time. It's not their job. I'm glad that we have some programs in place, because you know what? The fact of the matter is the church has not been doing its job.
You're saying it's not their job to ask for what they're entitled to?
No, I'm not. I'm saying, yes, it is. They have a right to ask for those things, but these programs, these entitlement programs, they're not designed to help folk. They're not designed to do anything but put Band-Aids on things.
Okay.
Food stamps. What does food stamps do from month to month? It helps out, but it's not designed to do anything else but to feed for right now. From month to month. So if somebody is using an entitlement program of food stamps, there has to be some other entity out there, some other people that's out there that can help in that situation. The fact that people are on, I would say, receive food stamps for so long is a reflection of the church. It ain't a reflection of the government.
Explain that to me. Why is the church responsible for people being on food stamps?
not responsible for people being on food stamps, but it's not the government's job to feed them. That's not the government's mandate.
Oh, wow.
It's our
job. You're stepping on somebody, too.
I'm stepping on mine, yours, whoever else is listening, and that's fine.
Right.
Because the reality is there's always more than we can do to be better at what we're supposed to be doing. At my church, there's no reason why the church pews are not filled up. When there's so many churches, and Brother Priest, I'm going to let you go. There are so many churches that pews are empty on Sunday. It ain't because people don't want to come to church. They don't want to be around church folk.
I know I don't. And excuse me, y'all.
Why should somebody, I'm going to calm down. I'm going to be quiet, I promise. Why should somebody come to the place where we worship to be a part of that celebration, that celebratory period for an hour or an hour and a half or 35 minutes? Why should they come for that when that's not what they truly, truly need? They have other needs that need to be met. So we got to be real with this thing. We got to realize that a lot of the things that are out there, the entitlement programs, the handouts that they're getting, they're Band-Aid fixes. They're not reality. They're not true fixes. They help people. I minister every second Sunday at a church in my community, and we pack bags and we hand them out and we give food to people who come. And we talk to them for a while, or they get talked to for about 5 minutes as we're preparing the bags for them and we pray for them. But doggone it, what breaks my heart is every single month I'm seeing some of the same people. Some of the same people, they don't feel entitled, but it's out there, so they know they're comfortable. And some of these people come from different churches. And every church is not designed to have the same thing, and I understand that. But we have to do a better job at being a connectional type of church, a connectional type of body, where we're helping to meet the physical needs of people and not just the spiritual needs. Go ahead, I'm done.
Well, if y'all don't mind, I want to intrude and barge in very abruptly. Jill, you struck a nerve in me, and I wish I could have listened to more of the way that the conversation was going, because I came in at a good time, and sorry I took longer than what expected. But it's interesting, some of the things that you just brought out. You know, and I'm going to give this example, and I'm going to step on somebody's toes, and I'm fine with that. But I know someone that was in a program. This program was designed for 2 years. And after 2 years, this person had to go, you know, it was a starter kit. You know, once you've been here for 2 years, we're going to give you this training. We're going to give you this, you know, this schooling. We're going to give you these references, these locations and things. And after your 2 years, your time is up. Now you should be out there fending for yourself. 2 years roll around, this person's not fending for themselves. This person fought the system to stay with the program. Now, here's the problem that I have with that. Well, I'm not saying that this is wrong or this is right. This is just my example I want to bring up. The main reasons why this is so heavy on my heart, and why God, I feel as God gave it to me, is because when we are no longer entitled, that's when we get the hiccup and that's when we get the headache, because we're no longer entitled, but yet we still want the entitlements. That's why this was heavy on me, because a lot of times what happens is we are not being stewards, we're not being good disciplinaries, we're not taking care of the things that we have while we have them. We're looking at the right now, judging everything on the next day, on far ahead. Well, from a military's perspective, the entitlements that I'm getting are because I am currently active duty. So once I'm no longer active duty, these entitlements are no longer entitled to me. So when we start engulfing them into our income and relying on them as this is what it's supposed to be, that's where we get the headache and that's where we get the heartache. The other thing to that, too, JR, you brought up about it's not the government's job to feed the poor. I wish, and y'all bear with me because I'm driving right now, so I can't pull my Bible out unless y'all want to be the, you know, first one on the scene of the accident. But this in the Bible where your family is to take care of you. I said this before on the show many times, and I'm going to say it again. I was talking to somebody when we were doing stewardship, and she said it's so much easier to give money.
Mm-hmm.
And so what we've done is we've thrown the family out because I've given money to American Red Cross. I've given money to this or to Salvation Army. I've given money to the church. What more do you want? Well, let's go back to the very beginning, the book of Genesis. Money was not established in the first three chapters of the Bible. It was not established. But what was established was a relationship between man and woman, between man and God, between man and the world. No money was involved. There was interaction, but no money was involved. What's my point? Obviously, money is not that important if in the beginning God did not create money. So we're so busy throwing money, but let me tell you what we need is time. What we need is love. That's what we need, and that's where the problem is when we talk about a lot of these entitlements. We're giving of our money, we're receiving of our money, but that's not really the result. That's not really what the problem is. If I'm receiving entitlements over and over and over and over and over and over again, I need to ask myself, why am I receiving these entitlements? Or what are the entitlements for? Because when that time runs out, it's no longer mine. It's no longer mine. And if I treat it as mine, I'm the one in the wrong. Not the person giving me the entitlement. I'm the one in the wrong. I really don't have a problem with all the red tape and all the process that you got to go through to get certain government assistance. You know why? Because too many people feel like they're entitled to it just because they turn 18. Just because I turn, you know, whatever. No, what have you done to earn it? What are the criteria? Where are you in this process? And I feel this is where a lot of the heartache is. This is where a lot of the problems are. And I really believe this is why God put this on my heart, because we are including the entitlements in our income. We're including the entitlements in what we do. And it's not, it may not be for, as a matter of fact, the Bible says in Ecclesiastes, to every purpose there's a season.
Mm-hmm.
Some entitlements are just for a season. Again, I go back to my reference, being in the military. I'm entitled money to purchase a house while I'm on active duty. Once I'm no longer on active duty, I'm no longer entitled to that. So if I spend all the 21 years I have in the service and never lay aside a dollar for my own house, it's not the Army's fault.
Okay.
It's my fault.
So here's what you're introducing, though, and I don't disagree. I think it's worth also having to the conversation the reality that the playing field is not level to everybody. I mean, I may have been trained and brought up a certain way about certain things, but a whole bunch of people, including myself, have learned some stuff the hard way.
Right.
I've learned stuff because of the environment that I grew up in. It would be a perfect world, and it probably would be great if everybody had two parents in the household, and out of the two parents in the household, one of them or both of them talked about and sat them down and talked about personal financial management, talked about all the lessons of PRF that we're talking about. So when they got to be 18, they went and go out into the world, go off to college or whatever, they had a good understanding of this economic thing. But there's certain conversations that don't happen in certain communities, and it shouldn't be surprising to some of us. Because some people are just striving to make it from day to day. And you probably weren't here for this part of the conversation, Brother Feaster. But as we continue, as some of us continue just to give to the church over and over and over, and all that is being communicated back to them is just to hold on. Just hold on. Just trust God. Really?
Right.
That is such a false teaching. I don't even know what it is. So the reality is we have to be real. And you were asking about what you were talking about earlier about the scriptures, and I've been listening to it all week, probably about the last 2 weeks, actually, out of 1 Timothy. And it talked about widows. And Paul is telling Timothy that, telling Timothy, he didn't tell the church. He told Timothy, this is a pastoral epistle. So that means you, Brother Feast, to me, right?
Right.
The leader, to communicate this to the rest of the people. And he said, take care of all the widows who no one else has to take care of for them. But if they got children or grandchildren, their first responsibility is to show godliness to that home and repay their parents by taking care of them. Their responsibility. That pleases God. That's what Paul told Timothy. That pleases God. Talked about a true widow. If a woman is a widow indeed, she placed her hope in God. She prays all night. She asks God for help. But those who don't care for their relatives, verse 8, especially those in their own household, have denied the true faith. And this is going to shock you because we don't want to talk about this part of the verse. I ain't never heard it in the sermon. I guess I'll probably get one day. Such people are worse than unbelievers. That's what Paul told Timothy in a pastoral epistle to tell to the people. So if we ain't taking care of our families, and if the church ain't taking care of those who have nobody else to take care of them for, remember, Jesus said true religion is taking care of the widows and the orphans. If I ask 10 church people, if I go around to every church in my community, and I say, who are the widows that y'all have in this church? And I ask them, are you taking care of them?
Right.
I wonder how many answers I'm going to get. But guess what? As long as Mama such and such is getting Social Security, as long as Mama such and such has Medicare, as long as my sister such and such has Medicaid, I don't have to do nothing. We don't have to do anything as a church because the government is taking care of it. So what Paul had brought up was a church entitlement mentality.
What if you were to go around to those churches and tell them that these people were entitled to those entitlements according to the Bible? They would put you out.
But see, that's really what I was about to say. That's where the breakdown, and this is what over the past two shows, that's really what we've come to. Entitlement is. I don't even know who's entitled to it. I'm probably going through some wood. I'm going through some trees right now. Can you hear me now? Hello.
Yeah, we can hear you a little bit.
But yeah, that's the thing that I'm hearing, you know, and I re-listened to the show last week, and I've been chewing this thing over, and that's what the problem is. We are not receiving the education that we need. When the Bible says a lot of people suffer because of a lack of knowledge, that wasn't just something you pin on your wall. That just wasn't something you said on Sunday. You know, my father in the ministry, what he did was, on one Bible study day, he brought in a person that owned a realty broker, that owned business, and had him teach on home ownership. He got so much backlash because that ain't Bible study. Wait a minute, hold on. This is the time you have your most captive quarters, Well, and you know, he knew how many and our whole owners.
Buffista, I'm gonna mute you real quick. I know you can probably hear us. We're not getting you too good. One of the things, Paula, that Brother Feaster said was, people perish from the lack of knowledge. And when Brother Feaster gets into a better spot, hopefully he'll come back to us. But people perish from the lack of knowledge. I don't even agree with that. And let me tell you why. If you go and do a search on Amazon right now, and you put in financial help, if you put in some of those topics, if you even put in the Christian section, I can provide some statistics to you. Maybe I'll put them on the PRS page.
Okay.
There is no lack of resources for financial help. They're out there.
Now, let me say this. I understand that you disagree with that statement. If the Bible doesn't say that people perish for lack of resources. Of course, they're out there. We can Google anything and get a plethora of information on it, but we perish for lack of knowledge because we don't seek great knowledge. So as Brother Cecil was saying, this gentleman came into the church to teach Christians about home ownership, and he got a lot of backlash. Well, they were some ignorant Christians, and they are perishing because they don't have that knowledge. In the area of owning a home, they're ignorant, and they don't even want to know. And it's the same thing with the Bible. It's the same thing with the book that I wrote, Stop Paying Tithes. They don't want to know. So they will never know, and they're going to always be sitting in church paying their tithes, expecting God to bless it a hundredfold. It's not going to happen.
So that's
because
when we...
you're not entitled to the blessings of God until you give cheerfully.
So I don't. We don't have to trip, though. If I'm offering this to you, we give freely. That means people are supposed to accept freely. So I don't have to trip if you don't want to receive this particular knowledge. I don't have to trip on that.
No, you don't have to trip.
Go ahead.
What Brother Cecil was saying is that people are perishing. And not only him, but God said it in the Word. His people are perishing for lack of knowledge. There's no reason for us to get upset. It is what it is.
So it also tells us about getting knowledge.
Okay.
A little bit.
Okay. I'm gonna keep my comments brief just in case because I'm going through some backwoods. What I've noticed is one thing that really bothers me. We have a plethora of church buildings, but we have a lack of location where God resides.
Wow.
And what do I mean by that? You can go on, the guy just said in the service I was just attending, he said it's more churches than there are gas stations. To me, that's a problem that the world is getting worse. And we understand that's biblical, but still, where is the church? If we got one on every corner, where's the representation of the church? Not the building. So one of the problems is we're building up all these structures, but we're not edifying, which is what God commanded us in Ephesians, what Paul wrote in Ephesians chapter 4. We're not edifying the body of Christ. And that's why we suffer. That's why we go through some of the heartache and the pain, because we suffer. J.R., you are totally right. We have a plethora of resources. I call Google God because you can type in anything and get it. You know, it's the information is there. But if we don't process that information, we will never get to knowledge. And we need to talk about wisdom, which comes after knowledge. So the resources are there. The resources
Actually, brother, in love is wisdom first.
You're right.
Google
it. You're right.
Knowledge, wisdom, and understanding. It's wisdom. So here's the thing.
Wisdom
because the whole thing is it's about God. So it's about that connection. It's about what God gives. So that's why I said people perish from the lack of knowledge. And, yeah, we got to take that scripture into context. There's so much out there. And there's so many people that have used the resources that's out there, and they have the knowledge. Why are we doing the PRF table? It's not because people don't know stuff. People have a problem and a hard time applying it. There's systems and structures that are in place that make it difficult. You got a whole bunch of people that live in the ghetto, that live in the hood, that live in the trailer park, that's smarter than every last one of us on this line.
Right.
I guarantee you, smarter than every last one of us. But there's systems, there's structures that are in place, that have been in place. I mean, we ain't start off this country. This country didn't start off on an even level playing field. So let's be real. And it ain't even level playing field now.
Right.
So people with great ideas that God has anointed them with, sometimes some people just don't get the opportunity to do the things that they want to do. And when stuff gets bad enough sometimes, a lot of people come to the church. Somebody said this to me a pastor doesn't, what is it? A pastor doesn't keep the members or doesn't bring members. A pastor keeps members. So that tells me, what is it that I'm having in my church? What is it that I'm offering? What is it that my church is offering for the people? So when they come in and be a part of it, I mean, come on. I can tell you, we talked about the bankruptcy numbers, right, a couple shows ago. I can tell you, in the state, in my county, in the adjacent county, 22-21% of the people living in my county or the county next to me, in the county next over to that one, is 21-22% of the population in the state. Really? But we got 13 churches on the block before I got to turn off to go to my house. Something is wrong.
Right.
And God is not going to continue to allow this to happen to the ones who are trying to be faithful to him. I'm guaranteeing you, mark my word, he's going to start moving people out and moving places. I'm seeing it all around me. Moving people out of places that ain't about doing nothing. We have to be equipped to handle the problems that people are dealing with in our society and in our community. Forget our nation. Deal with Louisiana. Deal with Georgia. Deal with Philly. Deal with North Carolina. What areas are we able to affect? That's the one. I told somebody this, and I'm going to be quiet. I told somebody yesterday that when Jesus said, be witnesses unto me in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and all to the uttermost parts of the earth. I said, the reality is Jesus didn't tell them, y'all be witnesses to me to the uttermost parts of the earth, and then come on back home to Jerusalem.
Right.
You got to start where you at. So that's for me, y'all, and I'm done for tonight. For me, it's a constant message of we got to do this thing at home. If it's my church, then we got to do this thing in my church. If my church doesn't have something, I need to be humble enough to be able to say, we don't have that here, but Pastor Feaster down the block has it. And not worry about you joining over there.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Because if Brother Feaster is helping to feed the physical and the spiritual, I don't deserve you anyway. And that's my closing comment.
Good night, y'all.
Good night. I'm going to say a couple of things, and then I'm going to go ahead and close on out. I thank everyone for pulling up a seat at the table. I ask for, you know, your apologies now. I had an obligation. It was supposed to last about 10 minutes, but like it lasted about 30 minutes. But, you know, this show does not ride off of one person. I thank God that y'all were able to continue on, Brother J.R. and Sister Paula. J.R., I want to say this. Not to bring you back in, but just to say that we might be heading in this direction next week. But you mentioned about sometimes there are obstacles in the way of getting these entitlements. And as soon as you said that, I thought about, you know, this system is a worldly system. This is not even a godly system. So these systems
right.
that we're fighting against, that we're born against, that we're trying to get into are not godly. And if we're trying to approach them in a godly way, then we should expect a worldly retaliation. You know, so as we're dealing with these entitlements, I mean, you know, the two thoughts that I had tonight were who governs entitlements and who is entitled. But now it seems like, you know, who established the entitlement? Because Adia said last week that if you're in the body of Christ, you give your life to Christ, there are certain entitlements. But if you decide to walk away, some of those entitlements are going to walk away with you. So we understand that even God has entitlements. The government has entitlements. You got entitlements in your own home. I noticed last week and this week that the understanding of an entitlement is really the driving force for your passion, regardless of which side of the spectrum you're on. And I'm thankful that we have this opportunity so that we can express how we feel about it. You know, so if you're listening and maybe you didn't get an opportunity to just chime in or, you know, things were going too fast, you were taking notes, feel free to go to the Facebook page, possession.resources.finances. Put your comments up there. You know, we check that page 2 or 3 times a day. You put a comment up there, you put a question up there, we're going to answer that question. And it's probably going to be on the next show. So feel free to touch bases with us, touch bases with us. We want your interaction. We want you to come in. And if nobody else got anything, anybody else?
But Barfista, let me just say this. Paula has left for a table. You know, you kind of brought me back in. This is what I'm thinking, and this is what I'm feeling. I think the word entitlement, as we've dealt with it a little bit tonight and as we've dealt with it a little bit last week, the word entitlement seems like a dirty word.
Yes.
Because there's people who don't want individuals to have the entitlements, as I said earlier, when you were up from the table, but it's not about them not wanting entitlements. It's about not wanting them to have handouts.
Wow.
And we talked about the definition of a handout is food, money, or clothing given to somebody in need. So as talked about all of the, some of the statistics about politics, about poverty, as we talked about the scriptures that Jesus talked about or that he said about giving to others, and as it is in the book of Acts, then maybe we need to shift focus and just talk about handouts. Because the reality is, when we talk about entitlements, that takes it, in my opinion, and you know, we can keep on going, we've got more time, that takes it into a conversation of more of a political nature, where are we really going to get anywhere? Because regardless of what I say to you with your such-and-such of views, or your such-and-such of views, or your such-and-such political party that you're affiliated with, an entitlement to a political party is still an entitlement to a political party. And there's a whole bunch of people that political party affiliation comes before their Christianity behind closed doors.
So maybe
we need to really just focus on the handouts. Maybe what God wants us to focus on, okay, let's talk about what is out there that we can help. How can we help individuals who are in need, so that we can bring the focus back to what the church is supposed to be doing, what my church is supposed to be doing, what your church is supposed to be doing. And let those have those conversations off the PRF table. They can come and have a seat at the table. We'll welcome them. But Paul also told Timothy about having vain and babbling conversations that lead to ungodliness, that don't do anything to help people grow, that lead to divisiveness.
Right.
So I like handouts better. Because I promise you, there's a time in your life, Brother Feaster, there's a time in my life when I needed a handout. I needed somebody to give something to me. My mama needed some people to give some stuff to her, some money, some clothing, when we were growing up and things and conditions wasn't as well as they are. And I promise you, when we get on this subject, Brother Feaster, if you want to go there, I will hit something that I think is very, very important, because some people give to the needy, but what's your motive behind giving to the needy? Do you give in the last week of December so that you can hurry up and put that deduction on your taxes? Do you give the stuff that you just want to throw away? Man, do you give the stuff that you just want to throw away? Go out and buy something to give it to somebody. You want to wear new clothes? Why can't somebody who is in need can't wear brand new clothes? Giving takes sacrifice. Man, we are all over the PRF map. I don't know. But Feaster, you brought it up and God brought it out. That's how I look at it. You brought it up and God brought it out. And we have to go about it. If we don't say it, if we don't talk about it, then it's on us.
Right.
If you don't listen, if you don't do anything with it, then it's on you. But the reality is it still affects all of us. People to get it, bro. I do. We got so much stuff going on in this country, so much stuff going on in my city, so much stuff going on in our communities that are adjacent to us. And I've heard somebody say, you know what, things are so bad, I just wish Jesus would come back. You know what? I wish Jesus wouldn't come back right now. I wish he would not come back right now. because I would hate for some of us to have to be accountable for the mess that some of us are living among.
Exactly.
So my prayer is, Lord, give us more time. Give us more time to help get this thing right down here on earth. Because there ain't no way in God's green earth that you can treat people a certain way down here on earth and think that it's going to be peaches and cream up in heaven. It has to be. It has to be peaches and cream up in heaven. But you can't even, if you're not trying to help people on earth, if you're not trying to help the people that are in need, how can you have a mentality that you're even going to be around some of those same people worshiping the same God? Really? Doesn't make sense. So how are we going to do it, Brother Feast? You want me to go ahead and let you close out again, bro? I promise you I'll be quiet again.
I'm just going to make it real simple. We're going to revisit the discussion tonight and see where God is going to lead us next week. Amen. I thank you all for pulling up a chair to the table. Have a good evening. God bless you. See you next week.
All right.
With the economy down, it's amazing how not working can shine light on what you're working with. Dark times need enlightenment. We gotta wake up, open the blinds, pull back the covers, and get from under what's not important. No more inflated values, missed priorities, or irreconcilable divorces. Love is in need of assistance, so we need to change the system and redefine where the wealth is. Saving Wall Street don't mean nothing if we can't pay attention to what's relevant. Us, the state of you and me is in need of more stimulation than economics. We need more investments and spiritual kisses and more intimacy between partners. You see, money is backed by gold currently, but that real currency is making this house a home for you and me, backed by what we do and how I love and respect you. Loan modifications are for houses, but there's no foreclosures on this home. We own this, no loan on this. You're my 401k, my retirement. Everything I own invested in your feelings, wide awake and sleeping with my future on this. It'll take more than a depression to hold down elevated consciousness. I just play the kindred souls everywhere, able to bear witness and feel this.